We have an amazing relationship. We both have so much in common. We both love soup, and we love the outdoors. We love snow peas, and talking and not talking. We could not talk or talk forever and still find things to not talk about.
TBTL!
Moogles, Andy, do not hitchhike. Are you kidding me? I realize you guys are a nonprofit. Just buy a mother-loving bus ticket. OMGWTFY the face. No.
This thing turns out to be half as important as I figured it just might be. I'd say that you're all in line for some important promotions and personal citations when this thing's over with.
Let me take off my assistant skirt and put on my Barbara Streisand in the Prince of Tides ass-masking therapist pantsuit.
Do not put that on the Imaginary Radio Show.
Okay, are we done with the business part? I wanted to start the clown portion of the meeting.
Well, oh my goodness. Hello. Hi, everybody. Are you picking up what I am putting down? Can you hear me, America, and parts of Tokyo? This is a Wednesday afternoon edition of TBTL, the show that just might be too beautiful to live.
This is a serious message to everybody watching my update right now.
Sorry about the little audio issues here right at the top of the show. We broke down the whole broadcast setup here from Burbank Springs and took it out to the backyard yesterday. Because we were recording our Salute to the American Hot Dog radio special. And so I brought it all back inside this morning and sort of reassembled it. And it's not really my strong suit, reassembling radio and broadcast equipment. So we'll see if this all works here on episode 2656 in a collector series. By the way, my name's Luke Burbank.
Mr. Unlimited.
Coming to you from the aforementioned Burbank Springs Broadcast Center, perched atop Alabama Hill. In Bellingham, Washington, the Bay City. Another nice thing that happened right before the top of the show was those same seasonal allergies that I battled during yesterday's podcast.
Ooh.
And sorry for those of you who are... I don't know if there's an ASMR for hearing someone have to blow their nose. Like, sometimes when we eat stuff, some people really hate that. Some people really enjoy it. I don't think there's anybody who's ASMR... sort of dovetails with somebody battling seasonal allergies. So sorry about that yesterday. And of course, it just sort of it blew in on the breeze here right before we started this show. So it may be another adventure. Speaking of adventures,
jalapeno!
We have a lot to talk about today.
Let the fun begin.
Including more public pooping news.
Brother, who are you? What are you doing? I'm with the news, dude.
Some of you might not think that that qualifies as a news story, but in our world it does. It just seems maybe the mainstream media, the MSM, has been covering it more. It just feels like every week there's another story of somebody going number two in public. This one is worth noting because somebody took a picture of the guy. Somebody tracked the guy, and his response to being photographed as he was going number two in a public place during his jog, his response was not what you would have expected. So we'll talk about that. Time permitting, we'll also get into Brian Colangelo watch. He, of course, the general manager of the Philadelphia 76ers basketball team. There are rumors he may be fired today after he or his wife, somebody, or I guess it could be somebody else, but all the signs point towards it being one of them, set up a bunch of fake Twitter accounts to defend him and also defend his high collars. And what I was citing, the news from Heavy.com about Brian Colangelo's Italian wife being the one who turned him on to these high collars on his shirt. That story was written by listener Tim. Listener Tim emailed me and said, he said, OMG, WTF, why the face? I just heard you reading from my article on your imaginary radio show. So shout out to listener Tim who writes for Heavy.com. We got emails, we got V-mails, and a whole bunch of other fun stuff. First, though, we got to get this guy in on things. He's the longest running Cobro of the show. Here he is having a fish sandwich. He's lost hundreds of pounds, gained hundreds of confidence. And he's known for his drawings of tall ships, their grace and their splendor. He is Andrew
New Hampshire
Walsh, and he joins us now from the Roosevelt neighborhood of Seattle, Washington. Hello, my friend.
Hello, Luke. It's that time of year again. The time of year when I make the mistake of going back and listening to a podcast that I recorded the day before. And then the next day, I realize I have to talk very slowly because I talk way too fast on podcasts and it's unlistenable. So I'm trying to talk slower. Mm. Is this good podcasting?
Mr. Unlimited.
Trying to slow it down. Relax. Don't talk a mile a minute. I don't have to get all the words out at once. These are the things I'm trying to tell myself this morning or afternoon.
I do not notice you to speak too quickly. Is this feedback that you get from the listeners, or is this just something you noticed? And were you listening back to TBTL from yesterday or after these messages, your other hit podcast?
I was listening to, God, we're so... so loose with the word hit these days. I went back. I got some nice emails from people who said, hey, thanks for kind of opening up about being a weirdo yesterday. No, they didn't say that.
No.
They didn't say that.
Yeah, not being a weirdo. And I thought I was really proud of you, man. And I really thought about that conversation for the rest of the day, actually. And, This sounds a bit corny, but you know, I'm thinking good thoughts for you, man, because I don't like to know that my longest running Cobro and very good friend is feeling bad feelings coursing through them. So I was really glad that you shared that with everybody. I did not think you're a weirdo.
Oh, I was talking about the mascot talk. Just kidding. thank you.
Keep deflecting. It's fine. If that's what you need to do, like a weirdo, if that's what you need to do, that's fine.
I don't even know if we had mascot talk. Anyway, I just assumed we did at some point.
Yeah, it's a 50-50 chance.
So I went back and I listened to part of yesterday's show. And not even just that part, just from the beginning. I loved doing yesterday's show. I'm not just saying that. I had a great time hanging out in your backyard. I think we should do that more often. No joke.
Hey,
I know
anytime,
you're the one
man.
Who had to set it up, but... God,
no. That's a
damn.
That's,
was
that's,
I talking?
That's a blast for me.
I think.
Now, well,
I don't know, man.
I don't know. How are you? How are you feeling today? Now that we have at least a sort of good amount of our, let's be frank, TBTL salute to the American hot dog radio special now in the can, as it were. Of course, there's still a lot of work to be done, primarily by you, of taking all the recording we did yesterday. Of grilling up hot dogs and tasting them and talking to Francis Lamb from The Splendid Table. There's still a lot of work to be done on it, but at least some of it has been done. Is that – I feel like you have just – there's about three or four really major TBTL initiatives that are all underway concurrently. Does that mean at the same time?
I think so.
I know that someday when I'm sentenced to prison, I know I'm hoping that – I think I'm hoping they say that the – my various jail, stints are to be served concurrently. I think that means at the same time.
Concurrently.
At the same time, simultaneously.
Good.
Two things happening concurrently.
We have about three or four TBTL, major TBTL initiatives happening at the same time.
Concurrently.
And the lion's share of the work, certainly all of the back end work of editing and sending budgets to people, all of that has sort of fallen to you. Are you feeling like, what's your stress level today, a week and a half out from the TBTL-a-thon, TBTL 9, thumbs up for TBTL, life might be a highway edition. How are you feeling? What's your stress level?
I just thought of something. Could we, it's TBTL-a-thon 9, is there something we could do with Nuevo? Although I guess you already did that with Cinco, huh?
I may have done it with Ocho too.
Dude.
I don't have a lot of jokes in me. It's very possible.
The Cinco one, I thought maybe Carrie came up. Wasn't it Cinco de Niro? Anyway.
I think that was probably Carrie.
My stress level is high, man.
It's still high.
We didn't get reduced
at all by having the hot dog. Some of the hot dog show recorded.
No, it does get reduced a little bit with each little thing we get done. But it's one of those moments where every little thing that we get done, I remember four other things that I need to do. But I just keep telling myself it's going to get all done. I think that we have a good hot dog show in us. Like a bunch of it, like you said, is in the is in the can. I just wish I had a little bit more time. But I guess that's the way it always is. Like there, it's rare that I have these really tape heavy projects where I can just sit down with hours of tape and go through all the different takes and assemble it. And, you know, I think we have some good stuff yesterday. I think there's a lot of, you know, outtakes. I need to, you know, just really sit down and start editing a job that I love doing. But in my past, I feel like I've always been able to luxuriate in it a little bit, like, you know, like, okay, well, we have plenty of time on this, and just kind of juggling all these things at once is not how I prefer to work. But on the other hand, I think I, you know, we all need deadlines, and you can't just like play around with tape forever. This isn't public
radio.
What's
the next big thing that's stressing you out?
Rough.
Wait, did I miss a joke?
I said I can't just play around with my tape forever.
I cannot believe he just told that joke.
This isn't public radio, but that was a really...
Hey, I see. Shots fired.
Shots fired.
Hey, what's the major thing, as of right now, what's the next big thing that's stressing you out, and how can we delegate it to Lin Pham?
It's just that what I like to do after every show is go through and pull like clips of tape of things that you said or that I said that are funny or maybe funny out of context. And then I like to archive them and put them on a website. You know, I've been doing that for a while. And
yeah.
I just don't know who I could ask to take over that responsibility during this during this time. If I think of anybody, I will.
I was just like full of food and already a little bit tipsy.
You know how
what
it is.
That? Are you just on the site?
I was just like full of food and already a little bit tipsy.
What about this one?
Let's face it. I like to eat a few secret hot dogs while nobody's watching me. I don't remember saying that, but I stand by that. Is that from yesterday? We live in an effed up society and people need to start like having empathy and seeing things from our perspective as like black men.
No. No. I was paraphrasing somebody else.
It's all the work of unpaid audio producer Lin Pham right there.
No.
It's just like every day. I just get a few little gems.
That last one is so bad. I hate you for asking him to take that. And you know what? Lin, I know you're just following orders, but you share some of the responsibility, my friend.
Mm-hmm. Sure. I had a little bit of an adventure today. Thank you. Sorry I kept delaying the start of the show, which is, of course, especially ironic because I'm the one who also has, as they say, a hard out. I have a hard on in my name, Anders.
Easy.
I have to go get on an airplane. I'm going to Chicago doing Wait, Don't Tell Me tomorrow. But I kept pushing the start time on the show back because I was trying to do a bunch of things, get all my stuff packed up and just kind of get ready. And I was talking about this yesterday. Speaking of weirdos, I was talking yesterday about how I have this pretty major hang up about if I don't jog. And by the way, if you saw me on the street, you would never be like, that's a guy who has to work out to feel okay. It would not be your first take on me. I don't think I'm in any way having a weight problem, but I don't think I look like a tremendously athletic person. But I do have this kind of hang up about, like, so I'm going to get on the airplane. I'm going to probably have a couple drinks. I'm going to read my magazine. I'm going to, you know, eat a cheese box or whatever they have. And that whole experience, actually, I don't like traveling, okay? I don't like being in the airport. But there is actually a weird sort of moment of zen that sets in. Let's be honest. It's probably alcohol related to some degree. Of when the plane is just kind of humming along and you kind of got your little setup, you know, whether it's your movie that you brought on your tablet or your book or your magazine. Oh, I'll be reading Mike Pesca's book, by the way, which is already so good.
Yeah, I've heard about this thing.
We're doing a live wire with Mike Pesca and Prom Queen. How's that for a Saturday, Andrew Walsh?
Oh, that's a good Saturday.
Mike Pesca, Prom Queen, Robbie Slovic, who's a really funny comedian, and some other folks. This is happening at the Alberta Street Pub on Saturday. Sorry it's sold out. We're kind of a big deal as a show now. By the way, we sold out every single show this season.
Nice.
It helps that we did like four of them in a place that holds eight people. But even so. Anyway, so I'll probably be reading Mike's book. But I was going to say,
why do you call it a fan base? What is a fan base?
Because there's one fan.
Okay, sorry.
We call it a fan base.
A fan
really?
Base. You should.
How is this tracking with our fan base? I don't know. Somebody ask Lynn. Anyway, So I kind of am looking forward to being on the plane, at least some amount of it. And I love going to Chicago to do Wait because it's low stress for me, because somebody else has to really think about keeping the, you know, trains running and everything. That being said, I didn't feel like I'd be able to have my moment of sitting on that airplane and eating that airplane food and drinking that drink and feeling good if I hadn't exercised today, mm-hmm. which is, in one way, I guess a positive, because it motivates me to do something that's physically good for me. But in another sense, it's not good, because it's not a completely – what I should be able to do is also just allow myself to enjoy something within reason and not have it be attached necessarily to some other sort of behavior.
Did you read this thing that I'm kind of scanning now? I meant to send this to you over the weekend. In the New York Times, probably New York Times Magazine, letter of recommendation, airport layovers. I know that you're a...
Yes, I did.
Did you read it? And so it's basically a defense of airport layovers, as you would guess from the title. And it begins with the story of somebody who had a 12-hour layover in Shanghai.
If you ever talk about... If you ever ask me if I read a New York Times story, and I go, I did. I'm inside that Portlandia sketch. So
I didn't like the end. Yeah,
did not like the ending. You know what I thought was weird about that piece?
Can I just set it up really quickly?
More slowly, though. It
seems like the story of somebody who had a couple of very long layovers in Shanghai, and the writer says during his or her... First one.
His. That's what
Sasha.
I wanted to tell you.
Oh, yeah.
But the drawing was of a woman waiting in the airport, and the writer was named Sasha. And I wanted to say to whoever does the graphic design for the New York Times, if the writer is named Sasha and it's a person sitting in an airport, it's a drawing of a woman, we now think we're reading this woman named Sasha writing this, and it turned out to be a man named Sasha. It doesn't really matter, but I felt it was like a weird choice.
Hmm. Yeah, because it's such a personal story. Usually if you have a very personal first
Modern Love, when I read any of these things, I'm picturing the person who's writing it. I may not be picturing them completely accurately, but in my mind it's like I'm almost watching a little movie of them doing something. So when you have a drawing that's representing a person who's appears to have a different sex, this is me trying to make sure I'm not misusing gender versus sex. When I got to the end, I was like, this is great writing. I want to look this person up. And then I looked him up and I was like, this is a guy named Sasha. Okay. Anyway.
I've known men and women named Sasha. So yeah, especially confusing. I'm going into too much detail, but it starts off with this person saying, I had two really long layovers at different times in my life. And in the first one, me and my partner tried to go out into the city and really take advantage of the city, because we're like, well, we're here in Shanghai for 12 hours. But it just, you know, we had this thing about having to go back to the airport hanging over our heads the whole time. And then the next time he had this long 12-hour same layover, he's like, you know what? I'm just staying in the terminal, which is a very Andrew Walshy move, and just saying, I'm going to embrace this moment in between moments as a layover kind of is. He says, it's a good layover is actually a healthful, restorative bore. Layovers are enforced ellipses in life, temporary tenures in air-conditioned limbo. And that's kind of how I feel. I mean, that's how I get through life, actually, which is not exactly admirable, but I'd rather not try to jam a bunch of stuff in and have, you know, travel hanging over my head at the end of it. You know me, I buffer my things out. And my last day of vacation, I just want to get to the airport kind of as early as possible, or as early as conveniently possible, wake up, go to the airport. I don't want to spend like one last day on the beach knowing I got to be to the airport at like 6 p.m. because that last day on the beach is just going to feel like an airport wait to me.
This is where you and I are just the opposite ends of that spectrum. And probably I could definitely – I need to schedule in less. Perfect example. They wanted me to go to Miami today to be at the – or I guess it was yesterday – to be at the debut of a waterbed, because I'm doing the story about waterbeds.
Yeah, yeah.
And basically the debut of like the new waterbed, that the guy who invented the waterbed has now – he's kind of got a new version that he's trying to – reignite the public imagination with. And they were like, can you go to Miami, or, you know, somewhere just north of Miami to film this? And at first I was like, well, I gotta figure out how to go to Miami now. And then I was like, no, I can't go to Miami. We have too much stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I told them, and then they just sent a camera person, and then they filmed the thing. And I didn't have to go to Miami. Like, so that's my point in that is I would do well to probably try to jam fewer things in. And every once in a while, you could probably jam one more thing in and be okay. Somewhere in the middle is probably a sort of a good balance.
I would say, though, not to tell you your business, but if CBS asks you to do a story about meat tents, I think you're really going to have to take that trip to Miami.
Oh, I mean, I'd have to, just because we've already invested a huge amount of money in the audio for that exact segment. I mean, you know that.
The Miami meat tent.
Yeah.
All I was going to say about my jog, though, was that, first of all, sorry I kept pushing the record time back, and we do need to take a break. Speaking of running late, we're now late for the break. But I like wedged this jog in when we really should probably have already started recording the show. And I'm jogging along, and wouldn't you know, Andrew, just took a spill, ass over tea kettle.
Oh, no,
took a fall.
Really?
Yeah. And I can't say it wasn't a little bit, because I was probably not concentrating. I was probably trying to run too fast to get the whole thing done. Mm. And it was like, you know, I took a spill in Chicago running along Lake Michigan. This was mercifully way less traumatic, because this was sort of a slow motion fall.
Mm.
Like, I started to trip. I just caught my toe on something, and I'm going downhill, and I'm going from an area of sidewalk into the parking lot of an apartment building and then back onto the sidewalk. And I caught my toe on, like, I don't know, maybe the cement or something. And I start to feel that I'm going out of balance. But because I'm going downhill, my momentum is really carrying me. Had I been on flat ground, I probably would have I would have been able to stay upright.
Mm-hmm.
But I could kind of feel it happening. But it was bizarrely sort of in slow motion. So I had the time to sort of plan it out, to go to tuck my shoulder, Andrew, and to do a full somersault in the parking lot of this apartment/condo complex on Alabama Street in Bellingham. And just like kind of went to the ground, but made sure I was going on my shoulder, tucked my shoulder, rolled, popped right back up. And for the first time in adulthood, I was like, I hope somebody saw that. Because that went okay.
Did you pull a Pee Wee Herman and say, I meant to do that? Bad Pee Wee Herman.
Unfortunately, I did knock down a string of motorcycles right after this. And that was, by the way, second time I've dropped that joke, I think, in about a 3-week period, which is a weirdly specific joke to.
I cannot believe he just told that joke.
Again. I'm just modifying these drops left and right. But no, it was actually kind of freaky, though, because, and we've talked about this at the various times when you and I have fallen. Man, falling as an adult is scary business.
It really is. Just
embarrassing business. So this one was all – I got a little skinned up on my elbow, but I got to say, all things being equal, this was a pretty good fall for me, I got to tell you.
If you got to fall, that's how you know we're old.
If you got to fall,
that's how you know
you
do it. We used to be a young, hip podcast, and now we are the podcast of middle-aged men. Oh, it's time for the fall report.
50 ways to survive a fall during your job.
Hey, have any falls today? Well, I slipped a little bit in the shower, got scary for a moment, but I was able to stay on my feet.
Carrie made so much fun of me when we were remodeling our bathroom, because the number one thing that I was afraid of was, are the tiles that we are going to put in the shower, are they going to be too slippery? Are we going to fall getting in and out of the shower? And Carrie was like, after a while, because that was how I shot down every single piece of potential floor tile. Finally, Carrie was just Carrie was just started being like, are you worried you're going to fall on this? Are you worried you're going to fall on this one? Because it was honestly tied with looks. Like, the looks of the tile were a big deal to me. But right there with looks were, am I going to slip when I step on that?
She married an older man. What did she expect?
Exactly. All right. We are now way overdue for our break. So let's do that. Let's take a quick break. And then when we come back, we'll do top stories and all of that. Stay with us. This is TBTL.
Traveling at the speed of thought.
Hey, yo, kid.
What's up?
Remember when I used to be dope?
Yeah.
I own a pocket full of fame.
But look what you're doing now.
Who's this?
Do you remember what our buddy Chris Hayes' favorite soundtrack is? Movie soundtrack? Original motion picture soundtrack, as they say in the business?
New Jack City.
I thought it was Judgment Night. I could be mistaken. I have a vague memory of talking about this.
I knew it was
him.
Some Wesley Snipes vehicle. Was he in Judgment Night?
I don't know. I don't know anything about Judgment Night other than this was a huge soundtrack back in 1993.
And we'll all face it someday.
What's that?
Sorry, that was Emilio Estevez, Cuba Gooding Jr., and Jeremy Piven.
Oh, everybody's favorite. Hope he's doing okay after that fish scare. Anyway, so this is the soundtrack where they paired up a bunch of kind of indie rockers or hardcore rockers with hip-hop artists. So this one is Teenage Fan Club with De La Soul, but they're sampling or kind of playing Free Fallin' a little bit in the background by...
Oh, can you
Tom Petty, yeah.
Turn that up, I'm here.
B-side copy for the radio plays for something. I knew I blew the whole fandango when the drum programmer wore a Kango. Never could be like great fish, won't bite bait. Realize that I'm over like clover. No good luckin', so Mace beat the f***ing beat. While a teenage fan the heat, I bring it to the clues, paid all my dues.
I like this.
Oh, it's great.
Way.
Oh, it's by far the best song on the soundtrack.
Oh, yeah, I can tell because the rest of them look, Peace and Love, by the way, but like Helmet and House of Pain.
Oh.
I say Peace and Love because you and I have a friend who is, at this point, I think, arguably, and he'd get mad if I said this. He would be like, oh, it's just some bullshit, whatever.
Good imitation. But I'm a nerd. I'm so stupid. I just like this. It's just like, it's just bullshit.
Our friend Camaro Kev, who is a huge fan of the band Helmet, but gets so embarrassed when we say that, except he knows everything about the band. He always just goes, like, you know, it's like a lot of us have a, let's be honest, TBTL is Helmet to most of our listeners, which is to say we peaked a long time ago. But for some reason, people are still following what we're doing. Like, Helmet had its moment, and our friend Camaro Kev was into him. And then that... You know, the moment sort of passed. There's still a band that some number of people really like, but it's not quite like how maybe it was 15 years ago. So he'll go to the shows, and sometimes like they'll have these VIP passes. You know, it's like some extra money, but you get to go backstage. And I think one time Camaro might have been like on a list of less than five people who kind of bought that particular ticket. And in fact, he bought the ticket that allowed him, I think, to go to any Helmet show of that tour and go backstage.
If I recall, you could buy a special package of the album that came with an all-access pass to any of their shows, if I recall.
Yeah, no, I think you recall correctly. But it was funny because he was so... and we should just talk... You know, we're going to do some special summer episodes this summer. Maybe we can make this part of it. Because we haven't figured out what the theme should be. Maybe it's like...
Concerts?
You know, last one was regrets. Maybe this one can be like... Things we love too much.
Yeah. Oh, that's better. That's more open-ended. Yeah, concerts would be too specific. Yeah, I like that.
And like, because Camaro Kev, like, you know, he's so apologetic about this band, and you know, nothing to apologize for. Although I wouldn't hold my breath on their collaboration with House of Pain on the Judgment Night soundtrack, nor would I hold my breath for the Biohazard and Onyx collaboration.
Those are two great tastes that go great together. I actually think that the Dinosaur Jr. Del the Funky
Homo
Sapiens.
Those are two nut allergies that should not be consumed in the same cafeteria.
But yeah, Dinosaur Jr., Del the Funky Homo Sapien doing a song called Missing Link. If I recall, that's a good one. But we probably have other things to do than for me just to play songs from the Judgment Night, especially since I think we just
Let's
did
just
this.
Hear the Funky Homo Sapien one real quick, please. Okay. I've got such a soft spot for him. This is him and who?
This is Del and Dinosaur Jr.
Oh, well, I do like both of those bands.
Hey, I gotta start it. MCs get caught it. Off the sauce.
God, I can't.
Do you know what's better about the Teenage Fan Club and De La is that the guitars are not, like, driving in the same way. Because the problem with any rapping over, like, that kind of guitar is it just sounds like sort of, what would you call that? Like, it sounds like the sort of, who are these bands that kind of rap over guitar sounds? You know what I mean? They were, like, really popular in the, who did I Did It All for the Nookie? Fred Durst, Limp Bizkit.
Yeah.
kind of a Limp Bizkit, Linkin Park kind of a deal.
Yeah.
Not peace and love, but just not for me.
But even like with a few exceptions, because, you know, I can think of some old school, like Run DMC, I think, mixed some guitar into their hip hop from time to time. And then there were some bands that kind of came back around about 10 years ago, kind of honoring that style and bringing it back. And if used correctly, it's okay. But generally speaking, I do not like a kind of rock and roll electric guitar sound mixed into hip hop. Even when like Jay-Z does it, it's not my favorite thing. What's the Jay-Z song? It's a diss track against 99
Problems.
That one, but I'm also thinking of a diss track against Nas. I think this is on like the Blueprint, and he's rapping over The Doors 5-1. You would know it if you heard it probably, but if I recall, it's got way too much guitar in it. I'm just like, can we just, it's like, people like to mix sweet and salty stuff. I like to keep them separate, and that's how I am with my electric guitar rock and roll sound and my hip hop sound.
A couple of things on that. You're crazy for this one, Walsh. Number two, I just typed into the internet Jay-Z raps over The Doors, but I spelled raps W-R-A-P-S. So if
that's
you,
a new gift shop
if
idea.
If you
that
just
you have.
Wanted to know the whitest thing that's ever happened, I think it just occurred here in Bellingham, Washington.
Could we run in this rap? Oh, yeah. Take over. The break's
over, nigga. Guard MC. It's probably going to have some.
Oh, it's got a lot. You ain't ready for war.
ROC too strong. See, I'm okay with this. Because it's like kind of background, but you're saying at some point it just goes full.
I could be misremembering it. I thought that there was a guitar solo at some point. I could be misremembering it. This is an interesting song, though.
Let me
skip
ahead in the song a little
bit.
Beef
tracks are not my favorite because they're so focused on beefing that they're not usually the cleverest. Yep. But I got to say, I love Nas, but Jay gets some good shots in here. I'm glad that I'm on the record saying that. Way to go, Jay. Congratulations.
Would you say this is one of the better kind of diss raps, W-R-A-P-S? I think this is the part, by the way, when the guitar really kicks in.
Yeah, actually.
By the way, why is anybody rapping over Boston more than a feeling?
I don't know. You want me to give it a go?
I can hear this. It could kind of work. That was apparently the last thing I played on YouTube. That's why it was. One of these days. Oh, man, Andrew, take a note.
Okay.
Weren't you saying we were going to go in and we were going to do a whole show? Oh, maybe one of our road shows. If we need to just pass time while we're waiting by the side of the road to get picked up from St. Paul, Minnesota on down to Columbus, Mississippi, which, by the way, we'll be doing in about a week.
What the hell?
Like in a little over a week from now, we will be hitchhiking from the mothership, the American Public Media headquarters at 7th and Cedar, down to listener Jamie's house in Mississippi. And we're going to be also reminding you during that week that we need your donations and possibly your Amber Alerts. What's an Amber Alert when it's two men over the age of 40? Idiot report?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, what we heard at the beginning of the show, though, in the intro, is that listeners are definitely supportive of this idea. So
would you say that
news.
That is about – does that – accurately represent the typical response to the announcement that we two large adult sons are going to try to hitchhike across like four or five states down to Mississippi?
I feel like there are two major camps. One camp is just vehemently opposed to us doing this, and the other camp is vehemently in support of suggesting music for the trip to us. I have a million emails of like, you got to make this
the
song.
People who like the idea, they don't even like the idea. They just know a song about the open road.
Yes.
No one's really on board with the hitchhiking. It's just levels of thinking it's a bad idea.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, anyway, I was going to say one of those shows, we should do that thing you talked about, which is go through. Was it to go through our Shazam?
Oh, yeah.
Songs?
See what we
like recently Shazammed songs?
Mm-hmm. Stop Shazamming yourself.
I would love to do that. I was thinking about it because as I went to play that Jay-Z song off of YouTube, it just was showing me all of the other things, all the other like music that I've been playing on YouTube, usually in the service of this show. And it just – each one reminds me of some dingus conversation we were having, which is actually kind of a fun exercise.
Yeah, I love looking back at my Shazams.
All right, let's thank a dazzling donor.
On your mark. On your mark.
Get set.
Get set.
Now ready.
Ready.
Go.
Here
Speaking of the TV Chielathon, we've got one coming up, but we still got a few folks to thank from the last one. And a lot of these folks have been making recurring donations at a truly dazzling level. We want to thank Stephanie Lampe today of Mount Lake Terrace. She's our dazzling donor. Apparently it came as a surprise to everyone, including Stephanie. Stephanie said, I had no idea I was a dazzling donor.
No.
Well,
check the records.
Thank you for your, yeah. And by the way, if you're not, and we're reading this in error, you will need to pay for it.
Yeah.
So you broke it. You bought it. Sorry. I had no idea I was a dazzling donor. First, I would like to thank Luke, Andrew, Sean, and Jen for 10 years of radio and imaginary radio. I can't imagine my commute without you. Second, related to the recent steak talk, I want people to know that it is okay to order your steak well done, even at nice steakhouses. I come from a family of well-done steak eaters, and that is how I enjoy my steak, cooked all the way through. I used to hide behind the medium well, and that made my meal less enjoyable. Well, you said a mouthful there, dazzling donor Stephanie. Guess where I had a steak the other night, Andrew?
Daniel's Broiler. Did you see Brock Heward there?
Oh, boy. I did. We were recording an episode of his faith-based podcast.
Gotcha. because you're a runner. You're a runner, right? And
mm-hmm. I am. I consider myself more of a tripper.
But oh, my God. Was this?
I'm training for a 5K trip for charity. I just start at the top of the hill, and I roll all the way down the hill, and at the end, somebody donates money to Spina Bifida.
Is this product placement for tripping.com? Is that what that whole story was? Are you getting extra kickbacks from our sponsor, tripping.com?
You know what? Can you imagine if I was wearing my free tripping.com t-shirt when I tripped on the run?
I got a compliment on my tripping.com.
I was wearing it 2 days ago on my jog. It's not outside the realm of possibility. By the way, that's a wonderful t-shirt. I know that we promote tripping.com because they're a great way to find vacation rentals. But man, do they make some mean t-shirts and hoodies. They sent us a hoodie and a t-shirt, and I love those shirts. They're very comfortable.
They're so soft. I got a compliment on my tripping.com hoodie the other day. So for all your hoodie needs and vacation rental needs, check out tripping.com/TBTL.
If we can just get Everlane to start selling a tripping.com hoodie, then we're set. Then all of our worlds have come together. So back to the steak thing. I had a steak at Applebee's in Bellingham, Andrew.
Oh, wow. My grandpa used to do that all the time. His move would be step one, go to Applebee's. Step two, order a steak. Step three, complain about the steak at Applebee's. Step four, listen to family, tell them to stop complaining. He just ordered a steak at Applebee's.
Well, it was after 10 p.m. This is actually after I'd been running around town trying to find meat alternative hot dogs, which was harder than I expected, and also a smaller selection here in Bellingham than I was expecting. Pretty much got a couple of companies running the game on that. So by the time I got done going to every store hither and yon, I wanted to eat. And in Bellingham, there aren't that many places to eat after 10. That's also – that's how you know you're living in a medium-sized town. One, and I said this yesterday on the hot dog broadcast, if the whole town is abuzz because you got a Whole Foods,
mm-hmm.
that's a sign. And number two, if you have a hard time getting food, getting non-fast food after 10 p.m., and so the only place that was still selling food that was not a McDonald's was Applebee's. So I was like, you know, why am I being so on my high horse? Whatever, it's an Applebee's. They got food. Went into the Applebee's, ordered a steak because I'm trying to low carb it, and got it. I'll tell you what, I got it medium well, and I felt no shame about it because I was like, I'm at Applebee's.
Well, first of all.
And I was glad I did.
You should not, just like Stephanie Lampe is saying, you should never feel shame about ordering food the way you want it. And number two, you know, me making fun of my grandfather for repeatedly ordering steaks at Applebee's and then complaining about it, that might have come off as a little snobby. I'll tell you what, I went to when we were in Arizona, I went to Chili's, ordered myself a big rack of ribs. Were they the best ribs I ever had? No, but the thing is, I knew what I was in for. That's the thing. If somebody listening enjoys the steaks at Applebee's, good. Yeah. But I think the joke is that Grandpa, like, he keeps on ordering steak at a chain restaurant, and like he keeps ordering it over and over again, and always complains that the steak isn't that good. This is a guy who kind of grew up, as I was telling you on the hot dog show yesterday, my grandfather was like old school Cleveland butcher shop guy. He didn't run one, but he would go, you know, like he would come back from the West Side Market with choice cuts
of meat.
But
he ran his crime syndicate out of the back of one.
Yeah. He was like, he loved making roasts. He loved good meats. Yet then later in his twilight years, he's going to Applebee's to get his steaks and then complaining that they're not as good as what he used to get from the butcher.
Is it possible he was dealing with some memory issues?
The forget me shot.
And that the first indication was that he just kept going to Applebee's and not enjoying the experience, but then returning.
Maybe. Also, I think you just get to a certain age and everything just sucks. Yeah. Like, I hopefully well, that's I'll not for this. Everybody, but I think my grandpa just, like, he was a really big man. By the end, he's probably like, not choosing going to Applebee's. People, you know, he's just hanging out with his family and then going to Applebee's, and I think that complaining just became a pretty big part of his life by the end.
I think we've all got to really watch out for that. I wonder, by the way, we're still thanking dazzling donor Stephanie Lampe. Don't forget it, of Mount Lake Terrace, Washington. But that's the thing that I spent a fair amount of time thinking about. If I get to be an old person, if I make it that far, and I have mixed feelings on that, what can I do to be one of the old people who doesn't seem to just really hate being alive? And I don't say that – I know that sounds like it's easy for me at 42, which is relatively young, to sort of act like being a happy old person is just purely a choice. I mean, part of why sometimes people who are older are unhappy is because there are a lot of things about getting older that are not very pleasant, you know? So I understand that it's not just a choice. But I'm also curious. There are some older people who just seem like they're still – enjoying life, and some people who aren't enjoying it as much. And I'm not saying anything, but I sure hope I'm in group number one.
Yeah, like you say, there are external factors, but there are a lot of internal factors as well. And I think it has, for a lot of people, just has to do with your general attitude and personality, because there are people, like my grandfather, he got very old. He had, things he had to get taken care of. But at the end, he didn't die of he didn't get afflicted with any of the terrible things like cancers that people, have to deal with. And, I'm sure there are plenty of people who have just struggled with some super, super serious diseases, but had a better attitude than some other people who were just kind of grumpy, And I that's something I think about, too. Like, I already think about, I mean, that the good thing is you and I don't usually complain about things right now, so I doubt we'd suddenly become the kind of guys who start complaining about things.
I don't think, by the way, famous last words, and I'm sure we'll get an avalanche of email. We do this show 5 days a week, and so there's a lot of time to fill. But and so the other thing about complaining is it is in its own way kind of like it's – one of the things that makes the show interesting when it is interesting is if we feel passionate about something. And the kind of thing you feel passionate about is your neighbor yelling at you about parking or things like that. So, yeah, we do use that as fodder for the show. But I don't think actually you and I in our normal life are overly complainy people. Again, hold your fire, everybody who's going to just cite the last 30 times we complained about something. But, like, I mean, that's one of the things that really bothers me, the listeners of this show, Andrew. Just send in all this negative feedback.
Yeah. Why are you making the show so negative, listeners?
But because I've been around and I've worked with people who are just their default setting. Somebody described it really accurately. There was a woman, actually, who you and I have both worked with at one time or another. It's at a radio station. I will not even be specific to the radio station because that will leave it a little bit vague. But there was a person who we both worked with, and they were just a person who complained kind of everything was just always bad. And somebody else told me once, they said, yeah, that person's really toxic to work around. I was like, that's the perfect way to describe that. Like, it's a toxic feeling to have somebody who just is everything sucks. Nothing's ever good. Everyone's an idiot. It's just like a real bummer to be around that.
I know who you're talking about, and I won't give any other details either. But in her defense, Phyllis is juggling a lot of balls, and she's
under a lot of stress.
Yeah, she's under a lot of stress, and so I think that.
Can you imagine if Phyllis is like whole, just unbelievably kind of sunny, curious, thoughtful demeanor? If that was all just an act.
She's just like gritting her teeth and just like mumbling just, under her
and
breath.
And then just like in, as soon as the mics go off, she's just like, F this. She's just like such. Here's the most amazing thing about our friend Phyllis Fletcher, a.k.a. P. Fletch.
What's your name? Fletch. Full name? Fletch. F. Fletch.
Phyllis is somehow more unrelentingly positive in her real life, in her private life. Us interacting with Phyllis, unrelated to TBTL matters, is a more pleasant experience than having her on the show, which is a super pleasant experience.
Yeah,
she is a one of a kind person. So it's just really troubling that she's a total jerk.
I know.
No. Anyway, all I was going to say about Applebee's was, what I liked about ordering my steak at Applebee's was I felt the least amount of shame about ordering it medium well. And you know what? For what it was, for $12, by the way, mm-hmm. I knew what I was going to get.
Yeah.
I was going to get a steak that was like sort of a steak you might get at like a Denny's or something. Totally like edible. I was not holding out. Like I wasn't thinking this was going to be the best steak of my life. But by the way, I've had some less than great steaks at fancy restaurants because they don't maybe cook them the way I want, or it's a weird cut, or something goes wrong. In this case, I was like, I'm $12 invested in this. Oh, by the way, you know why I chose the steak was because I was on that kind of – I don't think you really view your world of eating this way exactly, Andrew. Although I think you eat less badly than you say you do. Like that's one of your kind of go-tos is just like, I eat too much. And I was, but then when you tell me what you really ate, it's not – like you don't just go to McDonald's and order like one of everything and sit in the parking lot and just crush it. I'm very capable of doing that if I'm in the right mood. That's not like really your thing.
No, but I do go and just get big, like big dumb lunches in the middle of the day. Like I just eat like really unhealthily and don't think about it. And just like the general habits of like I'll wake up, do some things, drink some coffee, and then suddenly I don't eat anything in the morning, and then I let hunger overwhelm me, and then I go and I just eat a ridiculously huge lunch at some pub somewhere that nobody should be eating at lunch, and then trying to do work, and then I'm hungry.
You say ridiculously big, but I've never seen you order like ridiculously big. To me, is like you ordered two lunches and you ate them both. Like you, every time we eat, unless you're like trying to front. Every time we eat, you just order an item off of the menu like people do when they go to a restaurant. Not me, but that's because I have a lot of problems. And then you just eat not even all of it, but some of it. Well, and then you're always just like,
I ate way too much. First of all, I am damn proud to be a member of the Clean Plate Club. And don't you try to take that away from me. I earned that.
Okay, well, you just called it a dumb lunch. Didn't no. sound like you're very proud.
Yeah, but I think that first of all, you and I don't eat lunch all that often. Maybe I'm just being hard on myself because it is kind of a lunch thing. But I think a more healthy person, the people around us, might eat a little bit more sensibly for lunch, have a normal dinner. And I just kind of, you know, whatever. I'll eat a big, huge lunch at like 3 o'clock. Yeah, maybe it's just off the menu. Plus, I get a bowl of soup or something. But it's just like, who's going to eat like a giant French dip, a bunch of French fries, and an extra bowl of soup at lunch at 2 o'clock when they're starving, and then skip dinner because they had such a late lunch, and then get hungry again about 2 a.m. and like stand in the kitchen and just like eat everything in the
fridge. See, it sounds like you're letting your body tell you what it needs. I'm not even joking. Yeah. Like, so you had a big lunch because you were hungry. And then you didn't eat dinner because you weren't hungry, and then you ate something later. Anyway, what I was going to say is I went into that Applebee's, and I was like – I was like in the movies when a car crashes over the side of a cliff, but it doesn't go all the way over the cliff.
Oh, yeah.
And the guy's sitting in the car, and it's like if like a mosquito – like a bird lands on the end of the car, and then it like goes over. It's like that fulcrum point.
Mm-hmm.
I was hanging on that teeter totter of, do I just go for it? This is Applebee's. Am I just like FML? I'll take one of everything, or am I going to like try to eat healthy? Am I going to try to eat good in the neighborhood and also healthy in the neighborhood at this Applebee's? And I was all ready to order the like appetizer sampler because I was like, screw it, dude, that looks good. I like everything on there. They got some cheese sticks, they got some boneless chicken wings, they got some what have you. And I was like, I was all ready to order. And then I looked down and it was like 2,500 to 3,000 calories. That is an entire day's calories for an adult male. And I was like, good for the laws that you have to put that on there. Like, I wouldn't have thought that this was, like, healthy, but I would not have thought this is meal replacement for a 24-hour mm-hmm. period of my life. And then I looked at the steak. It was 600 calories. And I was like, this is not even a hard call. That's not true. It was a hard call. But I was like, this is not even close. Like, so I know that you know, we're sort of like, we're small government people on this show. We rail a lot against these
mm-hmm.
rules.
Mm-hmm. I am,
and this
especially,
kind of, you know, onerous governmental regulation. But this is one where I would not have known that that appetizer sampler was potentially coming in at 3 grand in the calories.
Yeah.
And so I got my steak, and I ordered my steak proudly at medium well. They made it exactly medium well. Got some broccoli. I got some garlicky green beans with it. They had buttered the broccoli or some, maybe they'd sprayed some kind of Pam on it, some kind of buttery taste. Ate that steak, ate that broccoli, out the door in under $20. Man, oh man, Andrew, I had a wonderful time.
Yeah, no, that sounds great to me. And there's also something about a steak that, you know, I'll bet you did enjoy that more than some really expensive steaks you've gotten in the past.
Oh, yeah.
Because not only
the price
because
tag was really the price tag improved the taste by 60%.
Yeah, like I love going to steakhouses. My favorite thing. If I ever ask Genevieve to do anything like special for my birthday, it's just a simple let's go to Daniel's Broiler and
Out back tonight
and get kind of a more expensive kind of, you know, meal and like not look at the price tag, have some martinis and just like do the whole mm-hmm. Bill Brasky situation.
Yeah. He drives an ice cream truck covered in human skulls. To Bill Brasky!
Not the worst imitation of Will Ferrell there. Anyway, so I do enjoy a good steak, but if anything isn't great about it, you're thinking about the price tag a little bit more. Whereas,
yeah.
You know, going into Applebee's, you're ready to, you know, like, well, my expectations aren't that high, so probably the deliverables, the return on investment is actually probably higher
in
some cases.
The ROI?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was great. And that's my way of saying thanks to dazzling donor Stephanie Lampy of Mount Lake Terrace. Stephanie says, now, because remember she said she comes from a long line of well-done steak orderers. She goes, I used to hide behind medium well and think that made my meal less enjoyable. Now, when I'm asked how I like my steak cooked, I hold my head up high and quietly say, well done. Power out. Signed, Stephanie. Stephanie, you're our kind of listener.
I wish somebody would quietly say
high,
well done
no
to
apologies,
me once in a while.
And I say, and I whisper under my breath, well done, please. All right. We are roughly 6 minutes from the river, so it must be time for top stories.
Hello and welcome to Top Story.
We've got limited time here to finish the show, Andrew, and I know it's craziness and I'm trying to go to Top Stories, but here's why. Because I feel like I'll put this on me as the primary sort of person driving the bus a lot of the time. I have done a horrible job, even by my standards of late, of getting to any of the stories.
We just keep promoting.
That hamburger story, hamburger cheeseburger story, mm-hmm. Forget it.
It's done.
Forget it. It died on the vine. Because I promoted it like 8 times, we never got to it, and we're not going to get to Colangelo Watch, but that's okay, because you know what? If he gets fired today, we can talk about it tomorrow. Because I'm curious about, I mean, I'll give my standard disclaimer. It's technically a sports story, but really I think it's an interesting story about just trying to manage your image in the public. And like, if he does get fired, which there are rumors he might get fired today, and let's say, for instance, he did the tweeting, or let's say his wife did the tweeting. I'm curious to get your thoughts on if that should be a fireable offense mm-hmm. for somebody. So we'll talk about that tomorrow. This poo jogger, I find it interesting just because it seems like it's come up so much in the news, but I feel like I had a little bit of an epiphany today. Or I guess you could even say like an epiphany.
I cannot believe he just told that joke.
The latest person caught pooping in public was actually in Brisbane, Australia. A guy named Andrew Douglas McIntosh, who, by the way, is a quality control manager at a Australian retirement village, a company, I guess, that builds retirement homes, basically. And he's a member of the Brisbane City Council Board. Neighbors in his neighborhood had noticed a flurry of public poops on sidewalks and other street-adjacent areas near their homes. One resident said his home was getting hit frequently, he thought that maybe there was some sort of premeditation going on. because of how many number twos were being left around and the presence of toilet paper. Somebody was planning. Somebody was bringing toilet paper with them when they were doing this. So he hatched a plan to catch the pooper. He figured out the running route of the person who was pooping. They write in this is on Deadspin, presumably by tacking up and studying a map of the poops. Just imagine this room with all the strings tied to the map and photographs. Like, he tracked where the poops had been located, figured out what the running route possibly was, and then also figured out somehow what the times for a jog would be for this person, and then started hiding out in the bushes with a camera. Now, most of the time, when someone hides out in the bushes with a camera, no good comes from that. But in this case, he was exactly in the right place at the right time to take a picture of this guy. Now, Andrew, I sent you the link to this. Did you see the photo of the guy who's being caught pooping? He's holding toilet paper. He is bent over. He is in the act of doing this. Have you seen the photo?
I think I saw – oh, God, no. Jeez, no, I didn't. I thought – I didn't click on this because there have been so many stories like this recently, like you just mentioned, that I was pretty sure I had already seen this one, and so I didn't click on it, and now I'm clicking on it, and I hate you.
No, it's not – I mean, that. By the way, good. Thanks to the concourse and Deadspin, they artfully cropped around it. You don't in the article that I sent. You don't see any fecal matter. You just see the guy bent over. It's very. It's quite a candid. I'll tell you that much. It's quite a candid photo. So here's what happened though. When the guy who like did this whole like tracking of the elusive Brisbane pooper, when he actually popped up with a camera and took a picture. He expected, he said, when he told the media, he expected to be met with abuse. But instead, the man, who again we now know to be Andrew Douglas McIntosh, the man gave him a friendly hello before continuing on his way. It was very strange, said Mr. Smith. This guy has been charged with one count of public nuisance. Neighbors say he's strewn approximately 30 turds around the neighborhood. And this was my epiphany, Andrew. There is something going on with the people that are doing this that it is absolutely not simply a matter of needing to go to the bathroom at an inconvenient time. Is that – am I the last person to sort of arrive at that very obvious conclusion?
Well, the joggers, it seemed like – it seemed like it was an exercise-related thing, but no, this is starting to feel more like a compulsion.
And I think there must be a certain sort of, like you said, compulsion where this is something that is satisfying some kind of odd need. I'm not going to say that I know what the origins of that would be, if it's sexual or otherwise. But the reason was, and because of this photo, which I would like to advocate for using for the show pick, I feel like you're already kind of a hard no on that.
Yep.
But what's interesting to me about the photo is he's standing in front of a brick wall. I don't know what he's at. Looks to me like he's outside a school. Like he's like one of those schools where the buildings are not connected by hallways, but they have basically covered walkways. And you can sort of walk between them. Any kind of government or city building. It looks like he's standing next to one of those. He is not – where he is not, Andrew, is out in the woods, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like in other words, if this guy was jogging – and if he knew, you know, midway through my jog, it starts to do a little number on me and I need to go to the bathroom, that would be understandable. You'd think you'd sort of just – you'd try to make your jog go past a 7-Eleven, which we've also learned, and the listeners will when they hear the radio show, number one hot dog seller in America.
Oh, man.
Thanks to you yesterday, Andrew.
Nope, you spoiled it. You spoiled it. And right, I can't edit this out, so now I got to cut it out of the show, and now we're going to be short by about 45 seconds. I don't know, man. I'm just joking.
You can cut it out. That's
fine.
I'm
just kidding. Yeah,
so anyway,
no, that's a dazzling deed.
But the
for
fact
me.
That he didn't – okay, let's say you have to go number two, and there's no – you would – if you were not doing this for some other bizarre gratification, you would go to like the furthest reach of a field or the woods. You would be – like I'll shoot you straight here, my friend.
Mm-hmm.
I've had to go number one during a jog occasionally in Whatcom Falls Park, and what have I done? I have when it's been especially bad. I have veered off of the regular trail. I have gone into the woods off of any trail. I have gone deeper into the woods behind the biggest tree I can find, then looked around to make sure in no universe can anyone see me, and then I have very quickly taken care of that That's what you do if you have to go to the bathroom at an inopportune time. And yes. I guess in this case, you're fortunate enough to be a guy where that's a anatomically an easy thing to pull off. Doing this where this guy was clearly doing it is not about just needing to go number two. Nor was it probably in Colorado Springs where the woman was going on the sidewalk or near people's houses. Or any of the other places we've been hearing about it, the guy at the track in New Jersey who was actually the superintendent different high school. None of this is stuff where, like, somebody just had to go and they just – when you have to go, you have to go. Because if that happens to any of us who are not doing this for some other bizarre reason, we are going as far off the beaten path as we can, and that is not what's happening here, and I didn't fully grasp it until I saw this photo of this guy today.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with everything you said. I think Vox needs to write an article about this, maybe explaining the compulsion. They seem like a good outlet. That's not a joke. They just like to explain things, so I feel like that'd be
I've been reading a lot of Vox lately, actually.
I love that publication. I feel like did you pause because you thought maybe like Vox was some sort of like a play on words? I was making a poop joke.
Yeah, I kind of thought I was trying to it's not too late. In 3, 2
pressure.
What
would be a funny poop whoop scoop.
Nice.
Hey, how about that? That's on a different knob now. Sorry, Andrew.
What do you mean? A little louder?
I apologize.
Oh, it wasn't too bad.
It's too loud, and when I tried to turn it down, I turned you down.
Oh, I
instead.
See. I see.
Everything moved over one click on my little audio board, and so I know I've been firing those drops in way too hot, and I will I'll fix all of that soon, but not until Monday because the next two shows from me will be on the road from Chicago. All right. On that note, let's we got to wrap things up because I need to go get on an airplane, and you've probably got a healthy lunch to eat. Did you have lunch yet today, Andrew?
I had what I call a standing lunch breakfast thing where it was weird. It was, you're going to hear this. It's definitely not unhealthy today, certainly. But I'll tell you because I thought it was weird. Around 11 o'clock this morning, I was hungry. I hadn't eaten yet. So I went in the kitchen and I opened three Tupperwares of things that I had made. One was the bottom of a fruit salad, which only contained pretty ripe pineapple, way too many blueberries. I contemplated starting a podcast called Too Many Blueberries about the fact that my fruit salads always end up with too many blueberries.
Is this from that movie Three Tupperwares Outside of Roosevelt, Seattle?
So wait, I should start naming the podcast So Many Blueberries. And so I was simultaneously eating fruit salad, leftover broccoli that was steamed, but I was eating it cold, and then the last few pieces of a steak that I had cooked up the other night. So that seems like that would get the Luke Burbank.
See, I would have gone
the
steak and the steak and broccoli. That's all day, and then you have the fruit as the dessert.
I should have, but I started with the fruit salad, then I underestimated my hunger, so then I went into the steak, and then I closed out with the fruit salad again. But anyway,
I'll tell you, man, like, when we have some leftovers, we're generally bad about eating leftovers. Well, here's where there's three stages to our failure at consuming leftovers in this house. One is failure to take it from the restaurant. Mm-hmm. Can I box that up for you? I don't know. Yeah, okay, sure. And then you accidentally leave it on the table. Then stage two is failure to bring it in from the car.
Oh, that's the worst.
It gets to the car, but you forget it was in the car. And then the third is it gets all the way to the refrigerator, but you never eat it. But every once in a blue moon, like we got some pasta last night, and Carrie brought that home. I'm sure she'll enjoy that because pasta gets better with time, as does, in my experience, like Thai food and Chinese food. And but if I like if we got some leftover Thai food and I tell myself I'm gonna have like one bite of the little thing, and I like it cold. I kind of like leftover food when it's sort of congealed. Like
me too. Like some foods are better.
Cold,
than
Thai curry, chicken Thai curry and rice.
Sounds good, yeah.
And it's like all like it's refrigerated into kind of a square of food. If I open that thing, forget it. Like, I'm not having one bite and putting it back. I go into just like a fugue state. I'm eating all of that. And then as soon as that starts happening, I'm eating anything else in the fridge that looks edible. And then after I've done that, I move over to this cupboard we have that's full of like chips and other bad foods, and then that's why that night at Applebee's, if I would have gone for that appetizer, I would have probably had a mud pie afterwards. I would have just been like, now we're doing this. And that's where I have problems with impulse control. Like, you say that you don't eat particularly well. My move is, like, when I flew back to Seattle on Saturday. I like that I'm going to miss my flight to tell this story. This seems worth it. I flew back to Seattle on Saturday from Portland. Saturday, Sunday. Anyway. And I-5 was shut down for construction.
Oh, yeah.
And so I went to the Din Tai Fung at South Center. Three steamer trays of soup dumplings.
God, that sounds good.
I frightened the staff. And by the way, pork chop, rice, yeah. Green beans, totally. Ate all of it. All of it, Andrew. And the guys were just like, they were just, they were looking at me like, how's this,
they
how's
were
this
not,
happening right
no,
now?
No, they weren't. You thought they were.
I mean, like, I that's my thing, is I don't have a middle gear typically. Like, I cannot go to Din Tai Fung and just have, like, you know, six dumplings. It's like, I'm going to have 30 or I'm going to have zero. That's my growing edge, as Lisa Weinberg would say.
Hey, I know that you're in a hurry. Really yes. quickly, could you just wind up the poop story one more time? Just set it up for me? Just kind of like, just
tee it up? Yeah, yeah, sure. I smell a joke. I smell something. Is that Rudy? She's under the table.
I'm going to fix my Vox joke from earlier, which wasn't a joke. But I'm turning it into a joke. I'm retrofitting it into a joke.
Okay. So anyway, I just, that was something I'd never realized until I saw this photo, Andrew, that this is not purely a practical matter of needing to go number two.
Yeah, and there's something going on there. You know, Popular Science should write an article about this. Worth it. I stand by that.
That's good. See, and I see. I like it when you make jokes. You seem to resent me making jokes. When I say epiphany, when I say epiphany, I get crickets.
Well, I didn't want to interrupt with my intrusive laughter.
All right.
I might just call the show Popular Science, by the way. Do you want to save?
Hey,
I saw that we had a special song to go out with. Should we do that tomorrow, maybe? Or do you want to?
No, let's do it right now because this is a perfect time. We have another dazzling donor we want to thank, although she sort of said no personalized message necessary. She just had a song request. And that special person and that wonderful, generous human is Meredith Van Horn of Detroit, Michigan. Meredith had one simple request as she was dazzling us and maybe even is still dazzling us with her donations. And that was, can we please go out with Fresh by Kool and the Gang? And Meredith, we absolutely can. So thank you for supporting TBTL. This will be a nice palate cleanser for everybody after all of that, poop talk. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you for being a part of TBTL. We'll be right back here tomorrow with more Imaginary Radio for you. I will be joining you all from Chicago. So until then, please enjoy the rest of your Wednesday. Go Mariners. Go eat a bagel. Go to the bathroom in the woods if you have to. If it's coming on, go far away. Do like what a wildebeest does when it knows it's going to die. Separate yourself from the herd. Go out into the woods somewhere. And have a great Wednesday, and we'll see you tomorrow. Until then, please remember, no mountain too tall.
And good luck to all.
You were laughing at the end of that.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not trying to withhold.
You were appreciating my wildebeest reference.
I loved
that might have been my strongest pull of the whole show.
I'm just worried you're going to miss your flight.
You and me both. You know, life is a highway. I tell you, life is a real highway.
Life is a skyway. All right, Luke, go catch that plane. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Play Cool in the Gang for listener Meredith.
power out.